Greetings, saints. Thank you so much for joining the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. The Lord be with you. Father, we ask your blessings today on this study, and we ask that the brethren receive exhortation from you. And also, Lord, we ask protection upon those who have rejection or have condemnation spirits. That they would recognize them and that they wouldn't receive what's not directed at them. Lord, we ask you that all of those who have put their faith and trust in you to be delivered from their sins hold fast to the confession of their hope. We thank you for it, Father. Amen. Well, I'm going to talk to you about those rejected. And I'm going to start in Luke 13. And verse 23. And he went on his way through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying on unto Jerusalem. And one said unto him, Lord, are they few that are saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in by the narrow door. For many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Well, you've heard Jesus say that a couple times in the scriptures, and it's the end of usually a long trail of people being disobedient and rebellious and going their own way. He went on to say, then shall you begin to say, we did eat and drink in thy presence, and didst teach in, thou didst teach in our streets. And he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Notice the emphasis is upon disobedience, workers of iniquity. You know, when you walk by faith in the Lord, he gives you power. If you get double-minded, you lose it. And the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and that he shouldn't think that he's going to receive anything from the Lord. So it is to the faithful. And we need to be sure to understand that we're believing we've received a gift, as Jesus said in the very beginning, Mark 11 and 24, from God, a gift of obedience, a gift of being able to abide in him. He has made us capable through faith to receive every benefit of the kingdom. But some people know that, and yet they don't really have a desire for the kingdom. They have a more of a desire for the world. And God, of course, deals with them and deals with them and deals with them. And sometimes he comes to a place where he won't do it anymore. Maybe later he will deal with them again, but he just backs away. And he goes on here to say that there shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves cast forth without. And they shall come from the east and the west and from the north and the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are the last shall be first, and there are first who shall be last. So, you know, when people don't appreciate the gift of God enough to continue and endure to the end in their faith to receive, somebody will step forward and take that gift. So he said, strive to enter in by the narrow door. For many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. And there's a time when the master gets up and closes the door. And it could be permanently. We don't know. Obviously, we know that the Lord is very merciful. And if you're able to cry unto him and to repent, he will hear you no matter what. Sometimes people won't repent or can't repent. After a while, they can't repent because they've given to so much flesh that now the old man has taken over and the new man has died. Twice dead and plucked up by the roots, as it's called in Jude. So we need to be very careful to let this gift of God be precious to us and more important than the world. If you look, for instance, in Hebrews chapter 6, we see something basically the same thing. He says in verse 1, and I'll probably read to, let's see, maybe 15. Wherefore, leaving the doctrine of the first principles of Christ, and some don't want to do that. That all they want to do is get their toe in the door. They don't want more of Jesus. And they, of course, profess Christianity, but they don't go on to sanctification. And, of course, they're not going to make it. They're just not. Let us press on unto perfection. That's what we're all called to, perfection. Press on, and of course you can say it's the very, this is the words of full grown. That's right, maturity, right? Because that's a place where the devil can't really touch you, you know. And that's where Christ lives in you. And that's what we all are striving for by the grace of God. So he says, let us press on unto perfection, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Well, you understand that usually there's a lot of people that don't quite understand that. There are people that repent and they go back and they repent and they go back and they repent and they go back. I remember what the shepherd told to Hermas, that people who do that will hardly be saved. And that's true, this is not what God has called us to. He's called us to repentance and faith towards God. You walk in faith towards God, God gives the victory. Repentance and faith work together. Repentance means, of course, change your mind. And faith is believing you have received, as Jesus said, you know, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you have received them, and you shall have them. So we believe we have received salvation, and Jesus said you will have it. But you have to continue in the faith. He said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So you endure to the end of your faith to see the full manifestation of salvation. And so we're supposed to press on, you know. And of the teachings of baptisms. Yes, I mean, there are baptisms. There's baptism in water, baptism in the Spirit, baptism in fire, on and on. These are all good. But we have to press on. Some people just go around a little circle, a little religious circle, round and round. We got to do this. We got to do this, 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 and this. But they don't continue on to seek God for themselves. They go to the end of what their religion teaches, and that's where they stop. And what we're here for is to manifest Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? And of the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead. You know, these are first principles. All these are first principles. You know, some people say, well, I don't believe that Lord gave us this today. Well, I'm sorry, you haven't gotten past the first principles. You're not believing what the Bible says, right? And, of course, they don't lay hands because they don't believe that God will do something when they lay hands. And of eternal judgment. And some people, of course, they rebuke or renounce eternal judgment. They don't believe there's such a thing as eternal judgment. So that's a first principle that some people haven't gotten yet. And this will we do. What will we do? Well, we'll press on into perfection. And this will we do, if God permit. For as touching those who were once enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift, gift, of course, of Christ, and enlightened concerning what is ours through faith in Christ, and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit. Not everybody's received the Holy Spirit. Many have received the Spirit of Christ, as Romans 8 says, but they have not gone on to receive the Holy Spirit. In other words, they've received a born-again spirit, but that their temple has not been filled with the Holy Spirit yet. Okay. And tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. I would say some people haven't reached that yet. And so, a lot of people get enlightened. They get into religion. They get drawn astray into religious things, and they get stunted in their growth. But if a person has received and understood the greatness and the goodness of the Word of God and how they were to receive it over and above any man's opinions or any religion's opinions, and they seek God, they will find Him. And the powers of the age to come. And of course, the Holy Spirit gives us these powers. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. If you have not received power, you probably haven't received the Holy Spirit. You know? And the powers of the age to come. And then fell away. So if you have received these things and then fell away, it's impossible to renew them again unto repentance. This is a place where they have been rejected by God. They've received too much, gone too far, heard too much, received too much power to turn back. Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Well, crucify to yourselves the Son of God afresh? Of course. Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you walk after the flesh, your spiritual man dies. Just like when you walk after your spiritual man, who's in obedience to the Spirit of God, your carnal man dies. Okay, so what is it to put the flesh, the Son of God, again? You put to death the Son of God in you when you walk after the flesh, when you turn away from these things that you have learned. For the land which hath drunk the rain. Now notice what he's saying the land is you, right? The land is me. For the land which hath drunk the rain that comes oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs for them whose sake it is also tilled, receiveth blessing from God. True. We know that the rain is the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that comes into our lives to cause us to bear fruit. We are that land that should bring forth plentifully. We till the old land, meaning we repent in order to receive the seed humbly and give good earth to the seed, and the seed bears fruit all by itself. And, of course, we receive blessing from God when we walk in that obedience and repentance and faith. But if it beareth thorns and thistles, thorns and thistles are hard to get around. You know, there's a lot of people that are just hard to live around. They're just mean. You know what I mean? They have troubles. They have unforgiveness. They're criticism. You can't say anything around them without offending them. They're just prickly people, you know. But if you bear thorns and thistles, meaning you got this hatred and criticism and unforgiveness and on and on and on, it says it is rejected and nigh unto a curse whose end is to be burned. It is rejected. Okay, now we know that the land is us because 1 Corinthians 3 and 9 says, we are God's husbandry. But the Greek word there is God's tilled land. Tilled land. So God wants fruit from these things that a person receives. He wants to see fruit born. Some people are just hearers of the word, not doers of the word. There's no fruit born. They might know a lot. They might even be puffed up about their knowledge. But it will not bring forth eternal life. Eternal life is the manifestation of living a life of bearing fruit. People think that they have eternal life without fruit, but Jesus denied that in the parable of the sower. So as long as we're bearing fruit, we're being useful. And we're bringing forth the gift that we should be bringing forth. is, and when we stop, we're in danger. Okay? Jesus said in Luke 13, 6 through 9, he spake this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit thereon, and found none. And he said unto the vine dresser, now I believe the Lord, the Father is, this is his plantation, you know, okay, and Jesus is the vine dresser, right? And he said unto the vine dresser, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and findeth none. Cut it down. Why doth it also cumber the ground? In other words, why does it take up earth that we need to bear fruit on? Cut it down. Let's plant something else, right? And he answering saith unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit thenceforth, well. But if not, thou shalt cut it down. Well, yeah, cut it down. There's always somebody that will appreciate the gift. They'll step forward. The Bible says, let no man take thy crown. They'll step forward and take what should have been ours. Esau was one of those. He was the firstborn. But he didn't appreciate the gift. That was obvious. Jacob stepped forward and received it. So, you know, we're told in James, I'm going to read chapter 1, 2 through 7. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations. We're always tempted to go back. The calling is to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We're told to forget those things which are behind, press forward to the prize of the high calling, and not be distracted by the world, the love of the world, the things of the world, etc. So we're reaching forward to this goal of that perfection that was spoken about there. So he says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. Everybody's faith has to be proven. When you get a promise, that promise is proven in your life. God gives you a promise. Abraham was given a promise, and he didn't stagger through unbelief. I mean, he looked at himself. He looked at Sarah. He said, this, naturally speaking, this isn't possible. He knew that, okay? But he didn't stagger through unbelief. When he ultimately did understand these things and stuck to his faith, he received very quickly. Before that, he was double-minded because he was getting into his own works. He ended up with Ishmael trying to help God do this thing that God didn't really want any help. This was his creation. He didn't need man's works to bring this to pass. He needed his works in man. Now, God did the work in Abraham and in Sarah, which they couldn't do themselves. They had to come to the place where they knew they couldn't do it. And when they did, they staggered not through unbelief. They walked in faith, and they received very quickly. So, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. So, we're going to be proven. Don't think you're not going to be tested. Don't think God said no because you're tested. He's telling you ahead of time you're going to be tested. Your faith is going to be tested. But you need patience in your faith. Because he goes on to say, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. That's what patience in your faith. You're believing God. You're not walking by sight. You're not looking at Abraham. You're not looking at Sarah. You're not looking at the things of the world that make it impossible. You're looking at the promise, and you're holding fast the confession of your hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful and promised. But if any of you lacketh wisdom, just let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not. and it shall be given him. So ask of God. He will give liberally. It will be given. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. See, the devil comes to sow doubts. He tested Jesus with doubts. He tests everybody with doubts. Who do you believe? Whose seed are you going to receive? The seed of the sower or the seed of the devil? Because he sends doubts. He sends fiery darts into your heart, which you're supposed to cast down with your shield of faith, right? Let him ask in faith, nothing doubting, for he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Yes, if you're a double-minded person, you're not going to receive. Double-minded is two-souled, literally. It means thinking one way and then thinking another. So we have to cast down the thoughts of Satan. This is how we win this battle. Cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, right? This is how we win the battle. This is how Paul told us that we would win it. So you must do this. We're conquering this land, right? Now, go to Deuteronomy. I want to talk about this land for just a second. Deuteronomy chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 21. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and take possession. What land? The land of your soul. He's given it to you. The old man has possessed it. The carnal man has possessed it, just like they did the promised land. But the carnal man had to be conquered by the spiritual man, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so he tells them, go up and take possession. In other words, I've given it to you. You go take it. You believe it. We are the land that needs to be possessed to bear the fruit of the spiritual man. It's already born the fruit of the carnal man, but now he has to be conquered. The house has to be taken away. The spiritual man has to bear the fruit. The only way this can happen is if you listen to the spiritual man who listens to the Spirit of God. Go up and take possession as the Lord, the God of thy fathers, hath spoken unto thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. In other words, I've already given it to you. Don't be dismayed. Don't fear anything. Go and take it. You can do that by faith. And you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, let us send men before us. This is, they're speaking to Moses here, that we may search the land for us and bring us word again of the way by which we must go up and the cities unto which we shall come. Well, let me say this. If God says go up, you really don't need to do that. They wanted to go in there and see what were the possibilities of them conquering the land. They had to go look at the old man. Well, it's okay if you look at the old man. Abraham looked at the old man, but he didn't stagger through unbelief, right? He knew that God was able to do what he had promised. That didn't happen here. This is where the temptation came in. You really don't have to look at the problem at all. You have to look at the promise. Keep your eyes on the promise. And if you don't put enough of the promise into your heart while you're running into everybody that has worldly negative thinking and watching TV and doing all these things where you're just sowing bad seed in your heart, don't expect to make it. Repent. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Put the good stuff in and you'll get the good stuff out, right? 23. And the thing pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you and one man for each tribe, and they turned and went up into the hill country and came unto the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God giveth unto us. Yes, it is. Yet you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. and you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Well, they begin to blame God. It wasn't them. It was God. To them, they murmured. They begin to accuse God. But God told them, go up. I'll be with you. You go up. You go fight. I'll be with you. But they rebelled against the commandment because they looked on the old man. They got their eyes on the old man and the power of the old man and how they've served that old man all their life, you know, just like the Israelites served the Egyptians, you know, and they did too. They murmured and complained. Whither are we going up? Our brethren have made our heart to melt, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. That's the giants, right? The old man is a giant to most people until they get themselves founded in the gospel, in the good news that Jesus has already given us that authority. David was a good example of that when he went up against the giant. And he said what he was going to do before he did it. He confessed the good confession in front of everybody that he was going to take his head off of him and feed him to the birds, right? And that was little David. He was small, but it didn't make any difference. Faith made up the difference. And God wants us to know that too, that your flesh man, your old man, is not stronger than you when you walk by faith. It is not. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who goeth before you, he will fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. In other words, remember what God did for you when you came out of Egypt. Remember the miracle of your salvation from the old man. Remember your baptism in the Red Sea, as Paul called it. Remember how powerful God was. So he's saying, just remember what he did do and consider looking forward that he can continue to do that. Why would you lose faith in someone who did such a powerful thing for you, right? And in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son in all the way that ye went until you came unto this place. Yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God who went before you in the way. In other words, when the giant is out there in front of you, the Lord's in front of you too. And he's leading you against the enemy who went before you in the way to seek you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night to show you by the what way you should go and in the cloud by day. Yes, the Lord protected, shielded them, directed them, etc. He wanted to lead them through their promised land. Just like he had led them through their wilderness, just like he had led them out of Egypt. He just wanted them to remember how powerful he was and not give up faith in him. After all, this covenant is to the faithful. The righteous shall live by faith. It's not to anybody else. It doesn't matter if you consider yourself a Christian because you believe in Jesus. The double-minded man is unstable. He's not going to receive anything from God. This is a walk of the faithful, of those that believe God and put their trust in him and are not double-minded and hold fast that confession of their hope that it waver not because he is faithful that promised. He's given you the land. He's told you, go up and take it. And that land is the land of your soul. He wants the old man, the lust of the flesh, put to death by the edge of the sword, which is the word of God. And he wants you not to receive anything from him, because you have that shield of faith out in front of you. And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and swore, saying, surely There shall not one of these men of this evil generation see the good land which I swear to give unto your fathers. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Notice, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Also, the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither. Joshua, the son of Nun, who standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage thou him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones that you said, let me say that this parable is also in the New Testament, where we're taught that the law could make nothing perfect. Moses could not bring people into maturity, to perfection. It had to be Joshua, which is the name for Jesus. Jesus is the one that's leading us to perfection. The law given through Moses could not perfect anything. Anybody goes back under the law, they're not going to be matured. There's only one way to maturity. Faith in Jesus, faith in the promises. Your sword is the sword of the Spirit, it's not the sword of the flesh. But he said, moreover, your little ones that you said should be a prey, and your children that this day have no knowledge of good or evil, in other words, they were innocent, right? They shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. Innocence counts for something. These people weren't innocent. They had knowledge. He said, your little ones have no knowledge. They don't have the knowledge of good and evil. I'm going to lead them in there. But you who had knowledge and rejected it, you're not going in. So a lot of people are not going to make it to maturity. A lot of people are not even going to make it to bearing fruit. But as for you, turn you and take your journey into the wilderness by the way to the Red Sea. In other words, you didn't learn your lesson back there. Let's go back. So they had to, you know, look, why? How many times did they have to go around in the wilderness? How many times did they have to go around that mountain, right? You're wasting time. It doesn't take that long. 41. Then you answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord God commanded us. And you girded on every man his weapons of war, and were forward to go up into the hill country. And the Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you. They did not confess him before men. They did not believe him. And guess what? They had to take a trip through the wilderness, didn't they? For I am not among you, lest you be smitten before your enemies. So they were rebelling even again, because they didn't go up when God told them to go up. They were still in rebellion. So I spake unto you, and you hearkened not, but you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and were presumptuous, and went up into the hill country. And the Amorites that dwelt in that hill country came out again against you, and chased you as bees do, and beat you down in Sur, even unto Hormah. And you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord hearkened not to your voice, nor gave ear unto you. So you abode in Kadesh many days, according to the days that you abode there. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by way to the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me. And we compassed about Mount Sur many days, round and around Esau's territory, round and around. Esau was the one who sold his birthright, right, through unbelief and through bitterness towards his brother. Back to the Red Sea. You didn't learn about your baptism. You didn't learn that the old man was dead. You didn't learn that the giant was slain there in the Red Sea, and that you came up out of there, Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? It's no more I that live, it's Christ that lives in me, right? Well, amen. So this story about the land is all about manifesting Christ and eternal life. Amen. So let's go back. I want to look at Matthew 7. And we're going to look at 13. Enter ye in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many are they that enter in thereby. In other words, that's the easy way. The easy way is the flesh. There's lots of opportunity from right to left, you know. But no, the narrow way is just that. It's a narrow gate, right? The narrow gate is obedience to God because of your faith. Faith without works is dead. If you believe God, He will empower you and enable you to go against those giants. Right. For narrow is the gate and straightened the way. In other words, it's narrowing. The way is narrowing because the further down you go, the more constricted you become into this mold, which is Jesus Christ. And straightened the way that leadeth unto life, and few are they that find it. Few are they that find it. Beware of false prophets who come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Yes, and there's many out there, many, many, who are plundering the people of God and not teaching them the way to perfection. By their fruits you shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Yes, now what is it? What is the fruit that they're supposed to bear? The fruit is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The fruit of the Spirit, right? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but the corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Well, that's why we go down in baptism, and we reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. That is a spoken word of faith. Paul said in Romans 6, consider yourself to be dead unto sin. Reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Because the old man went down, he's dead. The giant is smitten. Okay, God wants you to see by faith and not see by sight of the natural man. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Believe it. Believe it. What is the good fruit? It's the fruit of the Spirit. It is the 30, 60, and 100 fold of the seed of the sower, who is Jesus Christ. You don't need anything but the Word of God to bring forth Jesus Christ. You need that in your heart, and then you mix faith with the things that you heard in order for it to bear fruit, right? The Word did not profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard. That's what happened in the wilderness. And that's what happens today. Therefore, by their fruit you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. There it is. Many call him Lord, but he says, why do you call me Lord? And don't do what I say. That's what he said. But he that doeth the will of my Father, for who is in heaven, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name? By thy name cast out demons. By thy name do many mighty works. Well, all those things are good, but they're not the main and most important thing. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. In other words, their works, their personal works. I mean, many people like to glorify themselves by doing the work of God. But our personal works is what brings us into the kingdom, is what empowers us. Everyone, therefore, that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon the rock. The rock is obedience to Christ. And everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not, so they have the knowledge, but they're not obeying it. They hear these words of mine and do them not, shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. This is the test, right? Remember, we saw that we are always going to be tested. Our faith is going to be tested, right? And so things come against this house that we have built. And the floods came, and the winds blew, and smote upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. Well, I'm afraid there's still people who do not believe these things. And they think that all you have to do is accept Jesus as your personal Savior, and that's all there is to it. Let's look again. Matthew 13. I'm going to look at 10 through 16. And he said, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and he said unto them, but unto you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. Well, these were the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus said that he had to first bring the news, the good news, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, because they were the covenant people. They had a covenant with him. But they lost it, because he's saying right here, he rejected them. He says, unto you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it's not given. And the same thing, by the way, is happening in Christianity, because the things that have been are the things that shall be. So today, we have this same problem. They're being broken off of the olive tree. Remember what Romans 11 says. How that all Israel was the people of the olive tree. But the Jews who did not believe were broken off. And then he told the Gentiles, unless you walk by faith, you too will be broken off. Well, they don't believe that. Unto you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. In other words, whoever has fruit, like the parable of the talents, whoever has fruit, more will be given to them. He shall have an abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath, so he can take back what he has given you. People do lose their fruit. They fall back into the world. That's what he's talking about. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall in no wise understand. And seeing you shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. They were not given a gift of God to understand, to discern. And repentance is, of course, the thing that would have given them such a thing. But instead, they wanted to accept and have the acceptance right where they were. They weren't considering that God wanted them to go anywhere or change anything. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Amen. Well, that's what we're called to. We're called to bear the fruit of Jesus Christ by walking in repentance and faith. Many people read the Word just so they can say they read the Word, I guess, but you know, we have to put the Word into action in our lives. We're called to put it into action. Let me read to you Romans 1 and 24. Now, I know a lot of people think about the extremity of this warning here, but it warns a lot of different kinds of people. And the problem is, they didn't love the truth. This is the whole thing that led them astray. Romans 1:24, wherefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts unto uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves. Why? For that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, He can turn you over to the biggest reprobate out there if you don't love the truth. If you change the truth in order for you to have what you want, you don't know where that's going to take you. Look at the perversion it took these people to. And it has today, too. I've seen it. You'd be shocked how many people in the faction movement are homosexual or have bisexual spirits. You'd be shocked. And what happened? They exchanged the truth for a lie and served the creature, that's the old flesh, rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile passions. Notice, for this cause, because they changed the truth for a lie. And for this cause, God gave them up unto vile passions. For the women changed the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working unseemliness and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was due. And here, once again, he mentions the cause. And even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up unto a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting. Not just the things we've mentioned, because he's going to mention a bunch of other things here. Being filled with all unrighteousness and wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy and murder and strife and deceit and malignity, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful, who knowing that the ordinance of God, that they that practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also consent with them that practice them. Oh, yes, they buddy up with people that do the same thing. Birds of a feather flock together. The tares are gathered in bundles, aren't they? Yes, they are. Wherefore thou art without excuse, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. Yes, people that are constantly pointing the finger and condemning other people, they're condemning themselves. For thou that judgest dost practice the same things. Now, look, here's somebody that's practicing these things. Have you watched these people that are out there railing against Trump? And they're so foolish because you can see that they're doing exactly what they're pointing their finger at. They call other people racist, but they're being racist when they do it. They're pointing their finger, but they got three pointing back at them. And everybody can see it but them. Everybody can see the hypocrisy but them. Well, so if he's judged for judging people that are doing the same thing, how bad would this person be judged for judging people who are not doing this thing? Well, it's even worse. It's even worse. And we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that practice such things. And reckonest thou this, O man, who judges them that practice such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? They will not escape. And even worse, when they judge those who are not doing these things, even worse. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? In other words, what you have to brag about, it's God that granted you repentance. Do you not want the same gift for someone else? Wouldn't you pray for that gift for them rather than constantly going around judging them? Now, who is this judging right here? We're reading here. Who is this that's judging? You could say Paul. Yeah, Paul. But who's behind Paul here? The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is judging through Paul. Because he's not doing these things. And guess what? He got judged by these people too. So did Jesus. Jesus got judged by these people. What is the judgment against them when they judged Jesus and judged Paul? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up for thyself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. You're treasuring up. In other words, it's storing up the wrath of God. Because a person gets away with it one day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day, whatever, they think, okay, God's not watching or he's not going to do anything. But God will say, oh no, you are treasuring it up. You are storing it up for a day of wrath, who will render to every man according to his works. So we're making our own future. Our works are making our own future. We only have one hope. And that is to repent of the works that Paul mentioned here and others and deal with ourselves, not worry about the mote that's in our brother's eye, right? When we got a beam in our own, Jesus said, be careful of that and do that. Wait till you get the beam out of your own so you can see clear to get the mote out of your brother's, right? In other words, don't make many of you teachers either, because we receive the heavier condemnation. If God makes someone a teacher, that's great. But if a man makes himself a teacher or goes and gets a certificate from a bunch of reprobates that he's a teacher and goes out to teach, look out. His judgment is coming his way. To them that by patience in well-doing and seek for glory and honor and incorruption, eternal life. But unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness. See, that's the cause right there. Remember, we saw the cause. Paul mentioned it twice in chapter 1. They're factious and they obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that worketh evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there's no respect of persons with God. Oh, hallelujah. Well, Father, thank you so much for your mercy and grace towards us in that you gave us the gift of Jesus Christ. Lord, we should tremble and fear you every day. Lord, who are we that you would give us this gift that we do not deserve? Lord, let us be humble towards you. Grant us grace, Lord, to humble ourselves to your word so that we might be a vessel that you can use, that you can speak through, that you can even judge through. Lord, grant us that grace, Lord. We need your mercy. We need your grace. We ask, O Lord, that you grant us repentance from all of the works of the flesh. You said, by the works of the flesh shall no man be justified. And Lord, you said you'd judge every man according to his works. Lord, let us have a good and wonderful future because we walk by faith in you. We've repented and we've walked by faith in you to see you give us by your grace the works of God. Thank you, Father, for doing this in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us today, saints. Lord, we pray that that Michael Hare and that your blessings upon him, that he share a good word and that the brethren hear and obey, submit. Thank you so much, Father, for your anointing being there in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, saints, for joining me. We'll do this again sometime. God bless.